And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
What's up, everyone? This is
Fuck you. Fuck you a lot, but only in the intro. Like, I don't actually say fuck you to anything when we're doing the actual show, but it always makes it seem like I'm just a dick, because like every cold open ends up with me throwing that in there somehow.
Fuck you.
Well, you are a dick. So what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Pappy, who waited his turn this time.
Yay. This is the SML podcast, episode number 185. Trying to do a new recording method today, so hopefully it sounds decent. If not, tough titties. Anyway, we had an interview scheduled for today, but because of PAX and spotty internet, we're bumping that to next week. So today, it's just us three idiots.
Yep. Idiots we are.
So, what's up, guys?
We did something that
there's news. Let's talk news, because we never get to talk news anymore.
Well, I just want to point out that we got to do something that we haven't done in a very long time.
What's that?
And we all played a video game together.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
It was fun. Yeah.
So are we going to do that first, or are we going to talk news
first? Yeah,
let's
do that first. I'm going to pull up some news stuff while we're doing that.
You pull up the news. You know, I just thought it was nice. Not only did my little, hey, let's all play golf with friends on Sunday, but it turned into what should have been three streams, but was two streams yesterday, which is nice. The comment from my coworker was, yeah, that other guy can really talk.
Which guy?
Oh, Shiz? I was like, oh, Shiz? He's like, yeah, man. I'm like, oh, yeah, because he's run his own Twitch channel for a while now, so he's used to being a one-man show and still getting used to sharing with other people. But great dude. Just,
indeed.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I was like,
fun.
Yeah, right? But I also joked that, you know, the first time in his life he was actually encouraged to talk and he had nothing to say. Like, way to go.
Yeah, that's all on your friends for not opening their own mouths.
Well, part of it is, you know, you had you, me, Shiz, and Christy, all people who work in entertainment in one way or another. So we're all used to going with the flow and interjecting, and then you just have those other two guys in the background who are just like, yep.
To be fair, calling our show entertainment is kind of a stretch.
We entertain ourselves.
But anyway, tell us about Golf with Friends. We might as well describe what the hell it is to the people who don't know what it is.
Beta game on Steam.
It's golf, and it's with friends.
other than that.
Beta game on Steam. It's only two courses right now, but if you buy the beta, supposedly you get access to all
early
the
early access,
players.
Not beta.
Well, I mean, they say it's a beta.
A beta?
It's a beta game.
Beta.
It's fun. Okay? It's miniature golf. That you can do it any way you want. Do you want to play regular miniature golf? I'm sorry, it's also from Blacklight Interactive. I should probably put them up on there.
Yeah, you should. You piece of
shit. So you can play regular miniature golf, which is moderately frustrating, especially the Oasis course. Or you can be like, you know what? I'm angry, and I want everyone else to be angry. So you can change the shape of the balls. You can change gravity, which we learned is still being worked the kinks out. Or you just jump forever. You can add jump to your ball to cheat through some of the courses.
Which is hilarious, just, by the way.
Yeah, it's just fun, you know? It's a lot of fun. And we played the shit out of it. I have like 4.5 hours game time on it now for a little miniature golf game with two courses.
It's ridiculous how only having two courses with 18 holes each, how replayable it is with friends.
We did speed run, 30 seconds per hole, and you're like, oh, that's no problem. Yeah, you play some of those Oasis ones, you can't.
Oh, speed run is jumping, fun as shit.
But if you disable jumping on Oasis, you can't speed run 30 seconds on some of those holes. It's
true.
Just awesome. Which is great.
Yeah.
Then it comes down to who fucks up the least. They're the winner.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's not who's better, it's who fucks up the least. Yeah, you screw up one hole, and that's game over, man.
Pretty much.
You just gotta pray the guy
above. That was fun. I liked doing that.
random shapes. You can make everyone a square or a fucking bugle.
Bugle is the worst.
The cone shape.
I appreciate it. Yeah, because I liked the cone shape because I had a very flesh-colored ball. So it's like a flesh-toned butt plug just traveling down the course.
I do enjoy the fact that I somehow got a hole-in-one with the bugle.
Yeah, I got a hole-in-one with the egg because I actually figured out how to abuse the physics, which is cool. And yeah, and also you can spam your L key to light up, and so you can have a little disco hole rave while the last person is still trying to frustratingly get their fucking random shape in the hole, and everyone else is partying.
Trying to get their cube to move 2 inches into a goddamn hole.
So yeah, I recommend it. It's only $5.99 right now on Steam, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, grab it while it's cheap. We got to find some way to get those people on the show, because that game is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want that to happen.
And they've done a lot of adjustments, because I watched some people streaming like 6 weeks ago, and they've removed some stuff and added some stuff to the hole. So they're still tweaking those two courses right now.
What
so
was removed?
When you got to get in the Sphinx mouth, there was actually a ramp before it. So you started 90 degrees from the Sphinx mouth, and you shot it into this little circular ramp that accelerated you, and you had to get your timing perfect to time it going through there and accelerating and still getting into the Sphinx's mouth while it was open.
Wow, fuck that.
Yeah. And everything else on that hole was still the same. So there were people timing out with a 2 minute time limit. They were just like, nope. Can't get past the fucking mouth.
And that's funny.
So they've been doing some tweaks, and yeah, I've really enjoyed the game. Yeah.
Delicious Mellow Yellow.
Mellow Yellow.
Which sadly did not make an appearance in the newest SML trailer for Jump Jet Rex.
Jeez. Oh.
Hey, our trailer's up again, so.
That's cool.
That's exciting.
When does that game come out?
Next Friday, I believe, and the next week on our Thursday show, our Thursday recording, we should have Loot back on the show.
Sweet. Love those guys.
Just be David, or if he'll bring Jason back on, or if he'll drag new people on. But either way, I'm sure nothing productive will get done.
Yeah, productive, after the news, I have something to share that I've discovered that shot my limited productivity to hell this week.
Well, talk about it now. Fuck it.
All right, you guys, you've heard of Polygon, right?
Yeah.
The website? Okay.
So they have a YouTube channel, and one of the people I follow on Twitter was constantly mentioning this thing. So I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to check it out. So Polygon has a show called Monster Factory, and what it is these two guys. The idea of the show is to take games with good character creation, like really in depth character creation, and create a monster, like something that's initially horrifying, but then, you know, it's their baby. It's like a child to them, and they play the game, they adventure with it. And I was laughing so hard, I was fucking crying. I watched all 10 episodes, and just, oh my God. Like, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I'm kind of sad that no one ever thought of it before. They take games like Oblivion and Fallout and Black Desert Online, and they just make these things.
Oh, it's just like for character creations and stuff.
Well, but
like
then
that.
They play the game with it. Like, so, like, they start playing with a character and they decide, okay, where are we going with this? Like, the first one they were playing, they were hitting the similar to button in Dark Souls 2. And they eventually created a character that looked a lot like Squirtle. So they made Squirtle. And then they were like, okay, well, how would Squirtle be in Dark Souls? Oh, he made a wish to be human for a day, you know? And so they played Dark Souls reacting as they thought Squirtle would react. They made in Fallout 4, they went with the final Pam. They were like, you know, because the final idea was just this big buff woman with a lot had gone on to her face. A lot had gone on up there. And it was just, you know, this obviously she's powerful. So what would she be if she were the fifth horseman of the apocalypse? So it was Pam who death forgot. And they shortened that to the final Pam. And the one that killed me is they do one, I think it's Black Desert Online. And they're making, like, they start off with, like, abusing like the super sexy aesthetic. But then something goes terribly wrong and they end up making like a melty face Bart Simpson because there's an actual button on the character creation to turn off facial symmetry.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I waste each video is about 30 minutes long and I watched them all over the course of the last week. I watched a few of them twice because it's not even that like they'll go in and break the game too. So a little bit. So, well, what happens if we spawn 100 dragons?
You might need to send me that, that Black Desert Online with the facial symmetry because I can only imagine the horrors that are created.
Cause they start with Bart Simpson. Like they're making, like super sexy Japanese boy band starts Bart Simpson is what they start with. And nice. Then it just goes fucking horribly wrong. And it's amazing. So, you know, I know it has nothing to do with our show except that it's video games, but I'm like, dude, go watch. I look at it and it's like, oh, only 100,000 views. No, man, this should be like 10 million views. Like this is seriously funny shit.
Nice.
So yeah, wasting time. So what's the news?
I have a couple of news bits written down.
Yeah, you can start, Joe. I'm pulling up stuff as I go.
I guess we'll start with all the tinier little news bits I have down. First off, there is a new Xbox One Spring Bundle available for $349 that includes the 1 terabyte console as well as Gears of War Ultimate Edition, Rare Replay, Ori and the Blind Forest, and Halo 5.
What?
For $350.
For $350?
Yep. We're talking $3.50.
Yeah, $3.50, clearly.
And it's a terabyte system?
Yep, the 1 terabyte drive with all those games.
What? Yeah. Oh, if you have an Xbox One, probably get one.
Yeah,
with this bundle.
A reason to look into finally picking up an Xbox One, that Microsoft has come out and officially announced that they are ending production on the Xbox 360.
It was a good run.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm trying to sell Soda Drinker Pro to a coworker, and he was just like, you know what? I looked at it, it looks interesting, but Sunset Overdrive is free right now, so I don't have any free time.
Truth. I'm so glad that more people are getting to play this game now, though.
Oh yeah, Sunset Overdrive. That was your first 100% on the Xbox One, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the only one.
It's still
Diablo. I was gonna say Diablo is a thing that exists.
But that one doesn't really count.
That one doesn't count.
It counts.
You already memorized the game before you played the Xbox One version.
Yeah.
He memorized every single instance of randomly generated content in that.
Dude, I 100%ed that game in, like, a couple days.
Yeah, especially when you found that little instance that allowed you to level up from, what, 6 to 45 in a few seconds because of your ring abuse.
Oh, well, that was only slight item abuse, but it wasn't, like, I wouldn't say abuse. It was
taking
working
advantage.
As intended.
Yeah. I don't think they ever intended for that perfect storm.
Sure.
I would imagine they did, yeah. Because it wasn't like it was a glitched item or a hacked item. That was all legit.
That's all legit. It just takes time to farm and have all of it put together.
Yeah. So you got to play like 800 hours if you're me.
Yeah.
Basically.
Figure it out.
Rayman Origins has joined the ranks of 360 games that are now playable on the Xbox One.
Oh, well, that's cool, because I gave away my copy, so maybe I can just download it another copy now.
Yeah, get it digital. What else do I have here? HBO Now is available on the Xbox One and the Xbox 360 just in time for Game of Thrones this weekend. So if you...
I was going to be like, what? Oh, HBO Now, because I'm like, I didn't
watch
HBO.
Yeah, not
Go.
HBO Now.
Yeah, oh, God, man.
You don't need a cable subscription.
Yeah, I cannot wait to start doing my my binging and after show and all of that. I'm so excited. Yeah, and on that little side note, did you see they're doing a fucking after show, like an official HBO after show for Game of Thrones in the vein of the fucking Walking Dead, the Talking Dead?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just curious if you saw that.
I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't ask if you cared, because from the tone of your voice...
Yeah, the tone of that doesn't sound really thrilled.
I was joking, though. I'm like, well, I've been doing after shows for this for 2 years. Where's my fucking job offer? Like why you gotta hire someone else? Just because they're handsome? What the fuck, man?
Because you're a schlub on YouTube, and there are literally millions of you out there.
Yeah, but toot my own horn there. I'm the only one doing a really good after show of Game of Thrones.
Allegedly.
I tried finding another one. Usually it's just one person talking to the camera for like 2 hours. I'm like, how are you talking for 2 hours about a fucking 65-minute episode? You're doing it wrong. Your review should always be shorter than the thing you just watched.
Speaking of things that you could waste hours on, Rocket League, the hoops mode, is out April 26th. So next week, we could get our Rocket League hoops on. And for NBA fans, you could drop $2 on a DLC pack that has car flags for every NBA team.
I don't care about the flags.
The enthusiasm is deafening.
I don't care about the flags, but I'm excited I'm playing the mode.
Yeah.
I need
and
to
listening
get
to a lot of Shut Up and Jam remixes.
I need to play on PC with Chris and my other friend Aaron so you guys can artificially inflate my skill level.
I mean, I have it on the one or PC, so it doesn't necessarily matter to me. I think I'm ranked
play with people who are better than me.
I think I'm ranked higher on PC than I am on Xbox. But if you guys wanted to play, dude, any time that you want to play Rocket League and I'm home, I will play Rocket League.
I think we're going to have to definitely do that in May, do some streaming of the three of us doing some Rocket League.
Hey, I'm down.
Joe,
or fuck it, we'll get
better.
Shiz for our fourth and he'll just talk the entire time.
Yeah, Joe, I'm going to need you to get better so you all three of you can carry me.
Yeah, it's not happening.
I think you have the potential.
To be better than Pappy? Yes. To carry Pappy? No.
Sure.
Well, the three of you have to be good enough to carry me. It's not just you.
Oh, okay. I'm totally, yeah. We already got that. Is your dog shit.
Damn. I kind of want to be the best one on the team just so I can just, you know, like, well, even though I walked into that, that still hurts my pride a little bit.
The final news bit I wrote down was earlier this week, GameStop announced that they are launching a full comprehensive game publishing division.
I don't know how I feel about that. They already got four companies in?
Well, they're already teamed up with Insomniac Games for Song of the Deep, which comes out later this summer. But
they are heavily promoting that.
Yeah, like big time promoting it.
Yeah.
And that will be the exclusive place to get the retail copy of the game. And they have just signed new partnerships with Frozenbyte, who are known for the Trine series, Tequila Works, who worked on Deadlight and Rime, and Ready at Dawn, who are best known for the God of War PSP games and the Order 1886.
Uh-huh.
So that is...
Oh, isn't it that game that everyone was hyped for that you could beat in like 18 minutes?
Huh?
Wasn't the Order the PS4 game exclusive?
Yeah, it's not 18 minutes, though. It's like
no, I thought
6 hours or so.
I thought that was the one that people were legit disappointed at.
Oh, they are, yeah. That was a game that was 100% style over substance. I mean, the game
we've talked on here.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, we've talked on here that a six-hour game is fine, depending on what you're doing with it, you know.
A full retail price game with zero replayability and the campaign is over in 6 hours? No, that's not a good idea.
Zero replayability. Like, there's even, like, you could technically beat Mass Effect in just, like, what, 8 hours if you bust your ass, but it's got replayability.
And side quests, which the Order didn't have. Like, the people are like, oh, is the Order worth picking up at $20? Fuck yeah, it's worth picking up at $20. The game is... If it's just even just as a graphical showcase for what your home system can look like, yes. The game is gorgeous, jaw-droppingly gorgeous. There's just not much there. But I'm curious to see what the hell is going to go on with GameStop, like, officially getting into game publishing. That's
well,
they can skip the middleman and rip you off immediately. Oh, you just bought this GameStop exclusive game. Its trading value is now worth $8.
That's actually pretty high.
Yeah, that is pretty high. I think it could be fine depending on how much separation it is. Because let's be honest, it's going to be a subsidiary. You know that it's not going to be the same type of management taking care of, the promotion of the indie games and all that kind of stuff and the publishing and whatnot. It's going to be a sister company. So how much influence are the higher-ups from GameStop really going to have in what goes on with the production of the games? Who knows? I'm curious to see how Song of the Deep's going to go.
Yeah.
This is a very important step for them, though, because I think this allows them to get their foot more into the digital world where more and more games are moving.
Right. Not to mention the fact that, they're going to have to figure something out because brick-and-mortar video game stores are on their way out.
Yeah.
Hence getting their own games to publish. And they're still going to be available digitally. It's not like you can only get the game at GameStop.
But
you
that's
can
what
still
I'm saying.
Fire up your
PS4.
Way.
This is a smart way of them preparing for the potential of brick and mortars going mostly the way of just small mom and pops that just, you know, or GameStop for all of your special edition needs and nothing else.
Yeah.
This
right.
is a way for them to continue to make money by having a distributor in an online presence.
But to me, as long as there's also still that digital option, I think we're going to be safe from price gouging that we saw, because this isn't the first time GameStop is the exclusive retailer for a game. They were the ones who had the exclusive rights to sell Xenoblade Chronicles on the Wii, and they also paid for a reprint of that and Metroid Prime Trilogy and jacked up the price of each game to $90 and sold them used, so that they didn't have to sell them brand new at 60.
Yeah, but I think they got away with that because they weren't the publisher distributor, so they had that we bought all these games, so now we have to make a max profit off it by being your own, content creator. We'll say now they're more interested in pushing as many copies out the door as possible rather than jacking up for a limited edition, you know.
Yeah.
So now they're going to keep prices competitive with the rest of the industry because, we want to sell a million units. We don't want to jack up the prices and drive away, potential buyers.
I don't know. The GameStop tax on some games and some accessories is just ridiculous. And
hopefully they don't pull that shit here. Yeah. I miss the days when they're still a little clueless about actual value. So once in a while you could find that $100 value game that they're selling for $10 in the used bin. Those days are gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's because the internet exists and everybody knows what everything is worth now.
Damn it.
As long as the games turn out good, I'm probably still going to get them. I might not care about the physical copy, especially in the case of Song of the Deep from Insomniac, which is a $15 game. I don't see myself buying a hard copy of a $15 game.
Yeah,
unless it's really incredibly fucking good.
And like you said with Worry, though, what the Worry is now, if you don't buy the physical copy, you don't get exclusive access to this special DLC. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but
they
know what,
do that
though?
Shit,
I mean,
anyway with everything. Like, if you don't buy the physical copy through Amazon, you don't get this skin. If you don't get it through Best Buy, you don't get this skin.
I'm not talking about skins and that. I'm talking about like playable DLC levels and stuff like that.
Actual content.
I think that would start a riot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As long as they don't go that route.
I don't think they would go that route with DLC. I think people are just like, people are just kind of having a knee-jerk reaction of just being like, GameStop's the cancer of video gaming, so they're getting involved with something else that's going to be terrible. Like, we don't know how it's going to go yet. Let's see what path it takes and then go from there. Because who knows? I mean, like, this could really be the potential for them to essentially turn their entire company around and make them to be more of a light in the gaming community as opposed to like such a negative kind of.
Well, they're you can
thing,
tell
you
that they're
I mean?
Already
like,
steering not steering away from, but they're not leaning so heavily on game sales. Even with the whole ThinkGeek purchase, where half their stores now are swag and statues and shirts and
well, and you know what though,
and pop figures.
But let's be honest, the majority of things that people actually want to buy in a brick and mortar store pertaining to video gaming nowadays is that kind of stuff and not the games themselves.
Yeah, that's because why I said that they're not leaning so heavily on just video games now. They're focusing a lot on collectibles and random cool gadgets and accessories and blah, blah, blah.
Right, and from what I understand with this thing with Song of the Deep is they're going hard on the merchandising because they acquired ThinkGeek. So, like, they're using their resources to really push this game and have that kind of marketability and that kind of, like, that having swag items and whatever.
Yeah, but I think part of it now, they feel like the video game version of Spencer's when you walk in there.
Yeah,
hey,
but you know what?
I don't
There's
mind.
Nothing wrong with that. Like as far as gaming consumers in general, the majority of the time, like the games themselves, if they want to buy a fucking disc copy, there's so many different places that you can go to that it doesn't necessarily matter about where you get it, where you get the game itself. So GameStop,
yeah, I go to a WePlay around here, which is a much nicer independent store.
So yeah, so a company like GameStop, where realistically, you know, the gaming culture, the best market for gaming culture related items is all like novelty stuff, you know, for lack of a other way of putting it. Then absolutely change the focus. I mean, like, that's a good business model. So
because gaming has been accepted enough now that you can make a profit off of accessories,
right? So I mean, I think I would actually prefer GameStop goes in this direction where it's like, hey, let's just put the game, let's put some games out, we'll still carry like some of the big releases, but we don't have to go crazy with like trying to push pre-orders and trying to push fucking this, that, and the other thing as far as how they are now that everybody has a problem with them, you know, for like their secondhand price gouging and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and like you said, the pushing
more on the other stuff.
People are really annoyed by the mandatory pushing that the poor employees have to do, but that's because some asshole at corporate mandated it because he doesn't have to fucking annoy the customers every day.
Well, and you know what though, depending on the employees, because I mean, I worked there for a while, you know, they told me to push and I never did. But I didn't lose my job because of it. And yes, I might've gotten reprimanded a couple times, but I told them flat out that I would much rather provide a better service for the customer by not annoying them with a bunch of that fucking garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you also come off as a more knowledgeable, worker there or employee there. If you're just chatting about the, oh yeah, oh, you're picking up this game. Yeah, man, this is really cool. Have you played it before? You know, oh yeah. You know, you strike up that dialogue and they're going to be more likely to come back rather than, oh, hey, oh, nice
game. Do you
want to
buy the 2-year guarantee on the game?
Yeah, exactly.
For an additional $3.99 if it gets cracked or damaged at any time in the next 2 years, you bring it in for a replacement. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and then would you like to buy a subscription? Would you like to this? Would you like to pre-order anything else? It's like, no, man, let's chat about what you're buying. And make you feel good,
right?
So you want to come back and buy more stuff,
right? And that's the thing. I think GameStop, I think depending on, unfortunately, they are a chain, so not each individual GameStop is going to be great. I understand that the majority of people that end up going to their local GameStops have bad experiences. However, I do know some GameStops that are run very well that I have no problem going into. I enjoy my experiences. I enjoy the people that work there.
And like, usually there's enough, like, I'm in a city, so I haven't found that really cool laid-back GameStop, but I did find one where the employees don't want to be there, so they don't talk to you. So that's now my, you know, my favorite GameStop out of my options, because I can go in there, buy something, and leave, and they're just like, yeah, bye.
Yeah, you're just in and out, gone.
Yeah.
Like,
fuck off.
Which, you know what, though? There's nothing wrong with that either, because, you know what, that some people prefer that type of customer service where
if I can't have a good, positive experience, at least I can have a neutral experience.
But a faster experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which does. Yeah. It saves time whether or not giving you that spiel. Yeah, yeah. I can't go to the one on military installations because they're all like fucking super primed robots on that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, hey, how's it going today? Hey, have you found what you like? Yeah. Have you thought about pre-ordering this game? Hey, why don't you? Oh, you're an Xbox player. Have you pre-ordered this yet? It's like, dude, I've been in here for 18 seconds. I'm still looking at the fucking rack. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
See, I can understand if they ask, like, one time when I'm checking out and they're like, hey, is there anything else coming out that you want to pre-order? Like, it's your job. I know you got to do that. If I say no and you leave it at that, you're my friend and I like you.
Well, even
if
even
you're
that,
like, what? Are you a Call of Duty fan? Are you interested? The new Call of Duty's coming out this year. Do you want to pre-order? No.
Well, blow even with customer service, it is a very good customer experience when you greet them while they're still in there. Like when they come in within a few moments, you're like, hey, how you doing, sir? Are you here for anything in particular? Oh, no? All right. Just let me know if you need anything. I will happily help you. And then leave it at that. Now the customer's like, cool. You know, the dude's nice, and he's willing to help me if I want his help, but he's not going to hover.
Right.
Yeah. It's just... And I feel bad. I mean, some of it's college students or even high school students, you know, they haven't necessarily learned, you know. And part of that is management, though. You know, a good management team should be sitting down with their employees like, all right, let's teach you how to be baller status at customer service. Not, you must recite these 15 things to every customer.
No, and let's be honest, it is a corporation. So they're going to have those corporate values that are going to trickle down to each individual employee. That's like, you can't really avoid that, unfortunately. However, it is up to a good employee to recognize that they're doing their job by telling you. You're doing your job by acknowledging that they're telling you, but you could just kind of do your own thing as long as you're competent.
Yeah, well, I even say it comes down to middle management. You know, if you're the manager of the store, even the assistant manager, if you're prepping your employees to be good employees, then you'll have less to worry about than if you're just, here's the list of shit you got to say as an employee. Good luck, fucker. You know, because again, I'm in middle management. Trust me, there's a huge fucking difference between middle managers and how well things work. You know, and we can stop that flow of bullshit from the top, or at least stop up the flow so that the employees that are actually doing the hard work, the everyday interactions, can focus more on being good at their job. You know. That's my little rant.
Cool.
What other news do we have on here?
that's all the news I got. So I'm not sure, Chris, if you found anything else to talk about.
Well, there's some other stuff that I kind of wanted to talk about. So this previous weekend, there was a beta for Battleborn. So I don't know. Are you guys familiar with it at all or no?
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay. So Battleborn is essentially, it's the next game from Gearbox, people that do Borderlands. It is what I'm describing as like a hero shooter.
Oh, it's a MOBA.
Yes and no. So here's the thing. The thing about Battleborn is there's two different modes. There is a story mode, like a campaign-esque type of like PvE style thing, and then there's the PvP stuff, which is kind of more MOBA-esque, but in reality the game really just plays, it's a first person shooter, like it is a shooter first. Okay. You get like two three abilities that you get to use that kind of have a MOBA-esque element to them because they're on like a cooldown and all that kind of stuff. The game modes are very dependent of I only played a couple different game modes. They did have a very MOBA-esque style of gameplay, like you have minions going to a central, like to trying to get to the other side or what have you. I didn't really mess around with the PvP much. I played it mostly for the PvE, because the PvE, it essentially kind of plays like the bigger boss battle story lines that you would see in a Borderlands game.
Okay.
But they're standalone. So it's like almost raid style-esque. Like you could just kind of hop in with a couple buddies, you run through it, And then you can gain, like, there is items that drop and loot that drops that can alter the abilities of your hero or your stats and all that kind of stuff.
Shit, and they're not skimping on the heroes, man. Damn.
No, there's a lot. There is a lot.
There are 412.
25. Close.
That was close.
And the thing that I kind of like about it is the leveling system is kind of like it's a DNA strand. So instead of there being like a bunch of multitudes of a bunch of retarded freaking skill trees, it's just, do you want this or do you want this? And you pick between the two. And then you go to the next one. And sometimes it's happening like as you're going. I think it resets each time. I can't remember. I only did a couple matches. And
if
I was primarily
resets, that would be very MOBA.
I'm almost positive it resets. So it resets each time, so you can kind of like cater the play style to however you're feeling at the time, which I think is kind of neat. The only problem is, and this is kind of why I wanted to have this discussion, there's another game that I'm, you know, the only way that I can describe it is like hero shooter, and it's called Overwatch. Now,
yeah,
Overwatch.
That's really the big argument right now, which one's better.
Right. So Overwatch is the first-person shooter that is being developed by Blizzard.
Yes.
It also has kind of like a hero shooter-esque style where like each character has their own kind of unique quirks. There are abilities for the characters, but I think there's only like two. So I don't think it's as like drastic, but the weapons are different for each individual person. Overwatch, there's like what? I think there's 20 some characters.
Those two games are so similar in my eyes and coming out so close together that I really forget which is which sometimes.
Overwatch is the one where I have to watch a computer or a commercial before every movie I see.
I mean, they're coming out 3 weeks apart.
Yes.
Here, let me.
Which I think is just insane that they're coming out so close together.
Well, here's the thing.
21 in Overwatch.
Yeah. Now, Overwatch, I feel, has... I feel like it's a lot more polished. I think
it's
like
Blizzard.
Right. And don't get me wrong, I mean obviously like I am a little bit of a Blizzard fanboy, so I will admit that I am slightly biased because like with Overwatch and I will prerequisite this statement that between the two I have decided that I purchased Overwatch.
Shocking.
So now I will Overwatch seems to have a little bit more of a, it's kind of presented more like Team Fortress 2. Like it kind of has this more, fun,
they've really been pushing that in the commercials, just the fun gameplay styles. Like,
yeah, like it's much faster, and that's one thing that I actually specifically wanted because, like, for me, if I'm going to get myself another shooter, I want it to be unique. I want it to have its own kind of thing going on. And obviously, I haven't purchased a hero shooter, so I was heavily deciding between these two.
Overwatch has a better mix of genders, too.
Overwatch has a lot more creativity behind it as far as like I think it's going to be supported more. There's a lot more of a competitive element to it. Blizzard is very, very open with everything that they have been doing as far as like the production has been going, like the development and everything. They do regularly like updated YouTube videos that like explain patch notes and like beta accesses and all this stuff. I feel like between the two, Like, it's not that Battleborn is a bad game, but I feel long-term investment-wise between the two, I feel like Overwatch is going to be able to... I think it's going to deliver more
in the long term. Part of that is Blizzard, because they've already mastered the esports and keeping interest in, you know, my coworker, again, the gentleman that we played golf with, he got his boss into watching Heroes of the Dorm. This is a guy who his video game experience tends to be NFL, NBA, hockey.
Right.
And that's it. And he was like, "Yeah, dude, I watched Heroes of the Storm, and it was fun, and I enjoyed it. Now I'm going to check out esports, you know?"
It's Storm. Like,
I'm saying the show is Heroes of the Dorm.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
He got this guy whose free time is drinking beer and sports to actually enjoy watching. Like, he talked him into giving it a try, and the dude was like, "No, dude, this is pretty cool. I liked watching this. I still don't know what's going on in the game itself, but it's fun, and it's because Blizzard knows how to create a product."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's the thing. I mean, like, even if you're not, even if you're not, like, really crazy into shooters and stuff like that, it is a Blizzard game, and I think, like, that Blizzard has got me before. Like, that's kind of how it was. I'm like, I don't really think I want to play a digital card game, and then I started playing Hearthstone, and then it's all been downhill from there. and then obviously, like, if I was going to play a MOBA, I would play Heroes of the Storm, mainly just because I feel it's streamlined really well. You don't have to, I feel like you can still get everything that you want out of the game without necessarily spending money. It's the same thing goes with Hearthstone.
And I'll admit, I mean, I'm a little biased towards Blizzard now that I know someone who works there, and I've learned a little bit about the culture at Blizzard. I'm 100% behind that culture. You know, when I went to visit, it was, "Hey, could you come pick me up because someone decided it was Whiskey Friday?" You know, that's the kind of culture I can get behind.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
We don't care if you're a gamer. You have to play some video games, or at least watch YouTube shit. Because we want you to know what fun is, so you can help us make fun. Yes, that's a culture. That's a good culture.
I agree. I obviously, doing the podcast, I attempt to try and not be as biased as I can be, but, like, man, I've really never had a bad experience, like a horrible experience with a Blizzard game.
Well, I have, but that's because I'm terrible at StarCraft.
Yeah, it's your own fault.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I recognize that I'm not going to play StarCraft because I'm not good at RTSs. Like, that's just not. I'm just never going to play it. But I can play the other stuff. And then even WoW. Like, I may try WoW at some point, but we'll see.
And it's because I think they've done a good job of not. I wish other big companies would take notes and be like, you don't have to put out two games a year. You can just put out a really good game every 2 years and just create a really fun society around it, you know?
I'm really excited. I'm really excited for the game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's like I said, it's fast paced. And I think that's just, you know, again, I wanted another shooter, but I wanted something that was a little different because shooter-wise, on PC, because I am probably going to get it on PC. Or I already
shocking.
Bought it on. well, again, like, you know, my PC is set up for. I got this set up monitor-wise and video card-wise for Counter-Strike because it's a competitive shooter.
Yeah.
This is going to be my other competitive shooter. When you get burnt out on Counter-Strike, because Counter-Strike is so, like, methodical and slow-paced, sometimes, like, you just need to go back into the groove of, like, old-school shooter of just, like, really fast, really, like, chaotic kind of stuff. And
personally, I think the faster-paced games are a little more fun, because even if you're losing, you're, okay, yeah, the game's going to be over a lot quicker, and I can still have fun because this thing is just crazy, you know?
Right.
And there's something to be said about that. So you're more likely to pick it up even if you're not, like, really good at the genre because, well, at least I'm going to have fun losing.
Speaking of slow and methodical, I feel like this entire show got very slow and methodical and delayed.
Well, hey, Chris and I are having a real adult conversation. That's very rare on this show.
There's nothing adult about it.
What?
What makes it an adult conversation?
We haven't said a single swear word in like 15 minutes.
That doesn't mean it's adult. I could call you a poopy head for 20 minutes and technically not cursing.
That's also not adult. That's,
you silly poopy head.
All right. So, anyhow.
All I know is between Battleborn and Overwatch, I played a couple of PvP rounds of Battleborn on one of the earlier, like the closed alpha it might have been, and it was enjoyable. I just don't know if it's something I'd actually get into for an extended amount of time, and I know Overwatch has a beta coming up, I think, on the 3rd? Something like that?
So
I have two codes for it, so maybe I'll give it a go, but I don't know.
What, for Overwatch?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Well, good. Then you could play with me on PC.
No, because I have Xbox One codes. Why would I get PC
code?
Well,
then I would play it on Xbox One with you guys.
Why would I seek out a PC code?
Because you...
Think about that, Chris.
You have a computer.
He does have a PC in the 1998 definition.
You were playing golf with friends with us.
I was playing that on, like... No graphics.
You were playing it.
So yeah, anyhow, that's about it.
Do we have any more news?
I think we've been off the news for a while since we spent 30 minutes comparing Battleborn and Overwatch.
Well, yeah, their beta was over the weekend, so that's why I brought it up. They had another beta.
Hey.
So it was technically.
I have an email to read to break up.
We have a lot of emails to go over.
All right.
Because we have shit to give away. So let us start with giveaways. How's that sound?
Yeah.
All right. We are going to start off with the game Gear Gauntlet. We have one single code to give away. Just one. And we have four entries.
So you can help us break a tie.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't need any coin flips this week. The first email comes from Billy P, who says, "Seems like a nice game to sit back and eat chocolate to. I hear these things about the game being very difficult. How hard can it really be if I can eat chocolate at the same time?" I guess we'll see. Chocolate. So Billy wants to play it and eat chocolate.
Chocolate.
Potato wants to headbutt my fucking microphone. Potato.
Chocolate.
Go away. Potato.
What was the name of that character from all that? What I'm talking about?
No.
Kenan Thompson. Was it Kenan? Kel or the other one? One of them.
I don't know.
I'm going to look it up.
Next email is from Jake Benlier. He says, "I unfortunately do not have an interesting story or main motivation behind wanting a copy of Gear Gauntlet like most people, but I am an avid fan of indie games, and I do choose to support them when I can. You see, I'm a person who likes to live by example. It's easy to say things like that with no supplementary evidence, but I have put a few images to substantiate my claim for support of indie games I've personally bought and played." And he has some pictures here. First one, Dark Souls, Electronic Superjoy, Shantae, Killer Instinct.
Is Dark Souls really indie?
He's just sending pictures of games that he has listed on True Achievements. Ziggurat, Shovel Knight, Quest of Dungeons. That's a good one. I'm sure you understand the point anyway, as I say I have no real motivation behind wanting a code except for validating a claim made by the developers. It says, Drop Dead Interactive tweeted out, "Gear Gauntlet has a few hard achievements. What's the hardest achievement you've unlocked?" And he replied, "Donate me a code and I'll validate this hard achievement claim." Interesting. I see what the pictures are for. Quest of Dungeons, Shovel Knight, Ziggurat, and Electronic Superjoy. He has 100% achievements on.
Ooh.
Okay, now we're talking. We're bragging.
He is looking to dominate Gear Gauntlet. Domination. Now I see what's up. So yeah, that's my story. No big motivation, no big story, no epic boss conclusion paragraph. Jake, I don't know. That sounds like good motivation, is that you want to dominate this game. Sounds pretty good to me.
He's got the proof to back it up, so.
Yeah. Next one comes from Shiptari Ship. I don't know if that's like Bodie McBoatface, but what? I'm replying to this.
We didn't even talk about that.
Because it's not video game related.
It's the best name for a boat ever.
That's not happening. Anyway, Shiptari says, "Hi, SML team, I'm replying to the tweet you posted earlier about wanting to enter for Gear Gauntlet. It says, I simply want to enter this game because it looks frustrating and reminds me so much of Super Meat Boy, a game I completely enjoyed on Xbox 360. Thank you for the chance and for your podcasts."
For some reason, I was afraid that was going down somewhere, some other path. Like, I want to play this game because it looks frustrating, which reminds me of my childhood. Well, that's terrible.
Final entry is from our dear, wonderful friend, Zachary Lyons. He says, "I just watched the trailer for Gear Gauntlet, and I've decided that I need this game because I hate being happy and love rage quitting. I mean, seriously, this game looks crazy fun, but also crazy frustrating. I have a mighty need." All right, so we have Billy, who wants to play the game while eating chocolate because it's not hard. We have Jake, who wants to dominate the game and substantiate whether or not the game is hard. We have Shiptari, who is a fan of Super Meat Boy and thinks the game looks similar and also enjoys our podcast. So there's the ass-kissing vote. And Zach, who has a mighty need to be frustrated and hates being happy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I appreciate that, and I appreciate I kind of want to call out the guy who thinks he can eat chocolate while playing it, but I really do like the guy who's like, yeah, bring it.
Yeah, give it to him.
Sounds good. That was my vote as well. So, Jake, unanimous. I don't think that's ever happened on this show. Unanimous decision that you are going to win Gear Gauntlet. Courtesy of Drop Dead Interactive.
It's like the pause. You are going to win nothing.
A dick in the mouth.
Nothing.
Next email, Pappy, you could handle this one. Last week we gave out a handful of Steam codes for Soda Drinker Pro. We mentioned on the show that we had one code left, and we got an email for said code. Pappy, would you like to handle this one?
Yes, from a Mr. Joe Stratman, he of the good stats. Greetings, SML Podcast. I hear you have one remaining code for Soda Drinker Pro, which I would like to procure. While I am not a professional soda drinker, as my tiny Hungarian dentist would be more disappointed in me than she already is, I do consider myself a connoisseur of carbonated beverages. The local supermarkets have started opening up
sections. Oh, fuck, there's a spider on my ceiling. Hold on.
Really? Did we really just pause for a spider?
I mean,
is he going to eat it? Like, what do you think's going to happen now?
I jumped! Fuck!
No! He's got five cats. He's got five cats. One of those cats is just going to eat the fucking spider anyway.
I think it'll probably be potato.
Dude, you better, are your fire alarms working? Because Joe might burn this bitch down if he can't find this one.
Well, that was an easy situation to take care of, but go ahead. Right. I'm a man.
The oldest supermarkets have started opening up sections for craft sodas, so I've had my world opened up to butterscotch soda, candied bacon cream soda, and other such concoctions. I've even had a few of the rare soft drinks discussed in your interview with William Brierley, mainly Moxie, which is an interesting mix of highly caffeinated soda with a slight grape aftertaste. All of that said, I haven't found the Yingling of sodas yet, and my answer is much more conventional. Vanilla Coke is the best combination of flavor and chuggability I've experienced with a soft drink.
Fuck yeah.
Chuggability.
The flavor is very pronounced, and the vanilla adds a mellowness to the normal Coke recipe. Classic Coke is delicious, but trying to drink too much at once feels like you're trying to ingest battery acid. Vanilla Coke alleviates that feeling and lets you drink as much as you damn well please. So as much as I would like to give it to something like Tentacle Grape Soda for the name alone, the sweet deliciousness of Vanilla Coke is extremely hard to beat. Anyway, I'm sure you have more pressing issues at hand than me blathering about soda comparisons, so I'll let you go. Have a good one. Joe Henry Jones Stratman.
Needless to say, I did send him the code already.
Yeah, that wasn't blathering. That was phenomenal.
That was. I said, with an entry like that, there's no way we couldn't give him code.
Yes.
All right. One more contest to do is for Skyling Garden Defense, which we will review momentarily. We have three codes to give away. We had four, but I gave one out on Reddit earlier because we didn't get too many entries. So we have three codes to give away. And we have five entries, technically six, but one is automatically disqualified because she already won a code.
Okay.
Anyway, Eternal Rage, who already won the code from a different contest, emailed us and said, "Hey guys, this week for the Skyling giveaway, you requested a garden-related story, and I just so happen to have one. Because I have rheumatoid arthritis, it's not easy for me to get out and manage a large-scale garden like I used to. My husband and I opted to start container gardening. This would make it so my plants would be up off the ground and I would be able to reach them and manage them on my own despite my disability. I have a little table for potting and harvesting, and it's all set up to make it easier on me. We recently added goats to our hobby farm. One, a buckling by the name of Winchester, is quite adventurous and also a bit of a jerk. I was outside checking my containers and had decided it was time for my first harvest of herbs for the year. I had thyme, basil, and chives that were ready to go. Winchester was running and playing in the yard, but would stop every so often to watch me intently. Moved the containers to my potting table, but then had to run back inside for a moment. When I came back out, there stood Winchester the goat on my potting table with its tail wagging in glee. My basil and thyme were nibbled down to the dirt in their pots, and he was getting the last few bites from the chives as I rounded the corner. No early herb harvest for me. We've since installed a fence and a gate around my container gardens to protect them from the goats. Have a good show, Eternal Rage." See, yeah. You could have won a code from us, but you had to go and enter a different contest. So.
Well, I mean, she won a code, so that's cool. It'll make our jobs a little easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
next.
I liked the story, so
indeed,
for
I told her I was still going to read it. Like, you don't have to read my entry since I got a code already. I'm like, well, I'm still going to read it. That's content for our show.
Yeah,
because we need more content.
Next email is from Alex Cat writing back in. Says my grandparents lived out the edge of our city in this dark, thick, tree-covered property. And in the backyard had this huge overgrown garden that I was always afraid of when I was younger because it was so big and intimidating and full of bugs and creatures. There was a semi-hidden pathway made of little marking stones to find your way through it, and I did actually attempt to walk through it a few times before turning back and got trapped and stuck at least once. I'm hoping this game's gardens aren't as horrifying.
Jesus.
Horror garden. I guess I should have said that the whole thing was to write us a gardening related story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for your input. Next email is from the thankfully one and only Shiz Blacka. He says, "Hey SML, you guys want a gardening story? Well, I don't have one. I did figure though I would remind Joe of the time that I was raging through my last bit of Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. Wind-based achievements, and some little pea shooter prick named Joe Camnett kept killing me. It was good times, and I'm sure you agree. Love, Shiz." Prick?
Pea shooter prick.
I like that entry.
He deserves a code because he plays video games with Joe Cam.
Indeed.
Say no more.
Next email is from Nick Nunn, who says, "I have loved gardening ever since I can remember. My mom had a big garden in our backyard filled with tomatoes, red peppers, cucumbers, mint, basil, radishes, etc. From a young age, I can remember playing out in the dirt, digging holes as she was planting and doing the same out in her garden. As I grew older, I started helping her plant and harvest her vegetables until I was able to plan out and start my own garden in a separate corner of the yard. I made mine a fruit garden with strawberries, watermelons, and blueberries to start out, and the watermelons ever really turned out, but I was able to get some deliciously sweet berries out of it. The Jit Gardener.
Oh, yeah. Actual gardens.
Next one is from Tanner Tate, who says, first off, thanks for the opportunity, for the chance to win. I have a story that I figured I would send in for the chance to win. When I was about 6 years old, me and my mother had our garden, well, barely. It was in the backyard near our picnic table and swing set. We would go to the store and pick up a ton of seeds, such as pumpkin, tomato, corn, everything imaginable. We would plant them and wait for them to grow. Unfortunately, neither one of us had green thumbs, and everything would just wither and die or not get enough sunlight or water or whatever the case may be. However, I think it's ironic because my mother was raised on a farm. You would think she'd be able to grow a decent garden, but it never actually looked good or grew. It was a waste of time, effort, and money. But that's fine. It gave me and mother something special to bond over, and in that case, it was worth it. Thank you for the chance. Feel free to follow me on Twitter at Tennessee Tanner. So, bad gardener.
So how many coats?
We have 3 coats to give away, and we have one more entry from Mr. Zachary Q. Lyons, who says, hello, fuckers, it's me. Oh, my God, he swore in an email? He must not be sending it from work.
Hello, fuckers.
Well, he's got a little kid now, so he probably wrote this email at 2 in the morning during a feeding.
I'm awake anyway. I might as well just fucking email him.
That'd be great if that was just his entire contest entry. Hello, fuckers, it's me. And that's our entry. He says, so here's a gardening story of sorts. When I was a kid, my mom and dad ran a landscaping company. They were both really great at setting up beautiful-looking yards, both for families and big companies. Such it was super, super common for them to have random assortments of plants around the house all the time. They always told us not to go into the attic because that's where they stored plants that had to be kept at a certain temperature and we shouldn't mess with them. Of course, my brother and I were suspicious of this because we were kids and had nothing better to do. One day when the parents were off on a job, we snuck up to the attic to find out what they were really hiding.
Pot!
Much to our chagrin, it was really just plants. They smelled a bit funny compared to normal plants they use, but we thought nothing of it. We were just super bummed it wasn't something more interesting. Fast forward to our teenage years when one day it clicked just what kind of plants our parents were growing in the attic. And guess by now, it really was a 4x6 row of pot. By the time we worked out, they had long since stopped growing it, but man, was that funny to figure out. Bye, fuckers.
All right, well, Zach gets one.
Yeah, I'm down with that. That's a funny one.
Hey, how much does that suck to find that your parents have a really cool hobby and you don't figure it out until it's too late, you know? I'm too young to help my parents with this hobby, but now I'm not too young and they're done with the hobby.
Right?
All right, so we have 2 other codes to give away and we have 4 entries, so it can go to Alex, who had horrifying memories of being stuck in a demonic garden child. Shiz, who sucks at video games and I killed him a bunch. Nick, who is a legit gardener. And Tanner, who attempted to be a legit gardener but failed.
I like the Nick and Tanner, the good garden, the bad garden.
Chris, thoughts?
You don't have to agree with me. I'm just throwing. Let's spitball here.
I think. I think I'm okay with it. Well, I like shizzes.
Well, yeah. No, we don't have to agree on the first try. You know, this is.
No, but I have to. I think I agree with you. I do.
I like the idea of going with the 3 people who sent in legitimate gardening stories.
Yeah,
a game
about
gardens.
So, and thank you for the other 2. Like, thank you for the nightmare that I'll have later. And thank you for writing in, Shiz, because I just always like it when you write in.
And I like beating him in video games. So, Nick, Zach, and Tanner, you are 3 lucky winners. Along with Jake from our first contest, picked up your gauntlet. Big thanks to both Drop Dead Interactive and Mighty Studios for supporting this week's contests and giveaways, as well as William Brierly for that extra soda drinker pro code. Good times.
Yeah. So, reviews or the one more email?
Might as well go with that one last email.
All right. From Zach.
It's going to be a novel.
Three emails for me in one show? Hot damn, when was the last time this happened? So here's just a bit of an update on my end, so you know I'm still alive and listening. I've been doing some part-time work driving rental cars around, dropping them off to customers and picking them up to return to the rental yard, which has given me a lot of extra time to try catching up on my podcast. In the last 2 weeks, I've probably listened to 15 episodes or so of SML and I'm currently up to 165. Less than 20 to go until I'm caught up. I'll get there, I promise. When I was listening to episode 163, the 3-year anniversary celebration, I got a kick out of you guys suggesting that I make a best of SML episode, because leading up to episode 100, I really wanted to go through the episodes again and cut together an SML remix of sorts using nothing but audio clips from the show. Obviously, I never got around to that, but maybe one of these days you'll get a surprise. I'm really, really keen to start it with the normal opening of...
And now the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Then do kind of an enhanced bit with that.
The thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
I appreciate you reading that because I didn't like how the first syllable of continuation sounded like something else. I did notice that you said it like three more times than he wrote.
Chris, I think he's talking about cunt.
So, and then start the remix. It would be glorious. Ah, dreams are nice.
Cunt.
So I've really had to cut back on the number of games I'm playing because between part-time work, searching for a proper job, and spending all other time being a dad, life has been crazy busy. So I've had almost no time to dedicate to gaming outside of handheld stuff. Right now I'm hardcore into Hyrule Warriors Legends. Hyrule Warriors was my 2014 game of the year, so I've been loving having it on the go. And also keep up with Final Fantasy Record Keeper on my phone. I'm really interested in checking out Kingdom Hearts Unchained X, but unfortunately it hasn't yet released outside of Japan and North America. I'm also still slowly working through Telltale's Game of Thrones when I have the chance, in the middle of episode 5 of 6 right now, so I'm hoping I can wrap that up soon. I think that's all I've got for now, chaps. Hopefully I'll be able to make some time to email again soon. At the very least, I'll keep my eyes out for more contests that I can enter, even though I've got no time to play new games right now. Yo laughed.
Hashtag yo laugh. Get the hashtag.
It's creepy that you're reading the email over my shoulder.
That's unsettling.
Oh, man. On that note, we might as well talk about the games we got to review this week. And we'll start off with Skyling Garden Defense, which we just gave away. Game is published and developed by Mighty Studios. It released April 19th for $4.99 on the Xbone One. This is basically a mix of Qbert and Pac-Man in a cutesy, I don't want to say like family friendly, I don't know how to put it, a cartoony style pixelated world. You're a little girl and you need to revitalize gardens that have been overrun by monsters. So your job is to walk through the area, and when you walk over a patch of the garden, it blossoms back to life. You have to, in Qbert fashion, walk over all of the dead areas in the garden to bring them back to life and then get to the exit. So that kind of a gameplay mix between Pac-Man and Qbert.
Yeah, but what kind of fucking world sends a little girl into a dangerous garden filled with monsters that will eat her?
All of them?
Okay.
What?
Exactly. The game is fun. It is cute. It's only $5. There's 30 stages in it, but it gets deceptively hard. I think I've made it.
Yeah, I was going to say, just from watching the videos, I'm like, oh, it's one of those games that we fancy it up in cuteness, but we really do hate the fuck out of the gamer.
Yeah, I know I talked about the game Bounce Rescue last week and that it has the aesthetic of being a kid game, but the game feels more difficult than it looks. And I think that definitely fits this week as well. The game, don't get me wrong, the game is a lot of fun. My minor gripes with it aside from the difficulty, is I think the music is kind of eh. Like, it was clearly free music from an online library, which I can understand an indie developer wanting to save money where they can in that, but it seems a bit too generic for me. Again, it's a $5 game, so I can't really complain too much. The difficulty is my serious, legit gripe with the game, because like when you start the game, some of those levels can get fairly large. And in a game like Qbert or Pac-Man, any progress you made in the level when you die is saved. In this game, when you get hit, the entire stage resets. There's no lives. There's no, like, three lives per level or anything. It's just if you get hit, you start over. And on some of those huge, huge later stages, that sucks.
I think I'm okay with that.
Have you played much of the game, Chris?
No, but
there's
I mean,
your
it's,
reason.
It's a stylistic choice. It's a stylistic choice. I mean, like, not... I don't think they should have to change something like that if they feel that leaving it that way would keep the integrity of what they wanted to, you know, how they actually wanted the game to perform.
Okay, and I'm just giving my opinion as the guy reviewing the game that I believe for the vibe that the game gives off, the difficulty just seems higher than I feel it should have been. Especially where you could spend, you know, 5-10 minutes working on clearing out a stage, you have 95% of it cleared, and then you get sandwiched and trapped like the ghost could trap you in Pac-Man, and all your progress is gone, and you have to start over. It just, it gets frustratingly difficult, and not that the difficulty is too high, it's the punishment for failure is too high. If that makes
sense. Fair. Yeah, no, that's fair. It just felt a little inappropriate.
Like, if you had three lives a stage, and if you failed there and it start over, I can understand. But to just have one shot to complete how large some of those later stages can be, and if you fail, it starts... Especially the one enemy in the game, I forget all the enemies' names by this time, but... The one is just, it follows you no matter what. It can't go over steps or anything, but in flat areas, it will, its main job is to follow you and not just go on a set path. And there are slugs that you could pick up and throw them to kill enemies, which seems like a good idea to do, that you could kill the enemies and make it easier for you. But the later stages have pools where those enemies can respawn. But your weapon, slug slime enemies that you can use to kill them, they don't respawn. So no matter how many times you kill these enemies, you will never be rid of them. And it's just an exercise in frustration in some of the later stages.
Okay, that's fair.
That said... It's still only $5, and I still think it's worth picking up and buying for $5.
Okay, that's fair.
So you're giving it a buy it?
Yes. I'm giving a buy it, but I wish they would address the difficulty. It's hard to not want to support a $5 game, especially in this age where games are getting more and more and more and more expensive. Some for $5 that's fun, quick, easy, and for you achievement fans, super easy 1,000 if you could get through the game. Yeah, $5. Give them your $5. And maybe they'll work on patching it to make it a little more accessible for old people like me who can't get through the harder stages without dying.
Like me.
Till then, get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Next game is called Pang Adventures. It is developed and published by Dotemu. It released April 19th on the Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $10. There is also an iOS and Android version of the game for $4, but it has a launch discount of $2.99, so $3. If you are familiar with the old school Buster Brothers arcade game, Super Buster Brothers, Capcom used to publish it. It's always been called Pang overseas. This is the newest game in the Pang Brothers, Buster Brothers series of games. You are a guy with a harpoon, and there are balls or balloons or whatever you want to call them that are bouncing around you. You shoot them, and they split into two smaller ones. Shoot those, and they split into smaller ones. And you have to clear the level of all the bouncing balls.
And the harpoon looks just cartoony enough and low-res enough that I can pretend that this is like Scorpion as a child. Get over here!
Pap, remember when you were playing the Bug Butcher and I kept saying this looks like Buster Brothers?
Okay, no, but that makes sense.
You're the worst.
Hey, Pap, you remember that video game you played 3 months ago? Yes, absolutely not.
How are you so bad at this? Anyway, if you have ever played the Buster Brothers games, you know exactly what you're getting into. There are three modes in the game. There is a World Tour arcade mode where you play through 15 stages, then a boss, 15 stages, then a boss, 15 stages, then a boss. And I think there's, I want to say, four or five bosses in the game to get through with 15 stages before each. I think I'm working on the fourth set of levels right now because the difficulty clearly ramps up as you go through the game. You are graded on your score and whether or not you beat it. So you can...
If you don't beat it, then obviously you're not as good as someone who does beat it.
Well, yeah, you can get a check mark for beating the stage, and then there's also a score threshold that you have to meet to get a second check mark. Basically, stars in the game.
Yeah.
Once you beat the first boss, it unlocks an endless mode where you just go as long as you can and get as high a score as you can. And then once you beat the campaign, it opens up a time attack mode. So there is a lot of content in the game for sure. And seriously, it's $10. If you're an old school gamer and you love Buster Brothers, you are out of your mind if you don't pick up this game. The moment I saw it was coming to consoles, I emailed them right away and I'm like, please tell me when this is coming out because I need to own this game. It's Buster Brothers. There's everything that I have. There's local co-op, so you can have couch co-op, two players going on. It's just, I love it. I love it, love it, love it. If you're not familiar with the series, definitely watch some videos first. Because this is an old school arcade game. This isn't, you know, there's not a 20-hour campaign with a deep involving story. It's an arcade style game.
That's fair.
Bottom line, for my tastes, buy it.
Okay.
Any thoughts, comments, anything? You guys are more than welcome to become a part of this conversation.
You were excited enough for all of us.
Pappy, talk about speedrunners. Developed by Double Dutch Games, published by Tiny
what?
Build.
What? Dude, you got speedrunners?
Yes.
I'm excited
Chris,
to hear this, though.
You know how many times I've offered you games, and then on the show when we talk about them, you're like, what? You got that game?
So, anyhow, Chris, I do kind of wish you had gotten to play it, because I couldn't get it to function properly. It always went into windowed mode and would not let me move the window. So it went up into the top left-hand corner of my screen, therefore cutting off about 20% of the viewable area. And speedrunners, it's all it is. It's a speedrun game. You get to play against a computer or other people, and you run around this inside loop where there's, you know, you got to use a grappling hook and you slide and jump and avoid obstacles and put obstacles in other people's way. You can freeze them. You can stop them temporarily and stuff like that. And the moment you get so far behind that you fall off screen, you lose. And the last person left on screen wins. But as you're playing, the longer there are survivors, you know, the two or more people playing, the screen starts to shrink. Therefore making it, you have to constantly be like right next to the guy in order to stay alive. So the goal is to get...
I didn't see any of the screen shrinking stuff because my only experience so far has been watching Shiz, and he plays against, like, lowest level computers, so he's always winning without problems.
Yeah, because I had issues with getting the game to work, I at least did some due diligence. There are a couple of YouTube Let's Players that I watch regularly that had done it and during the beta over the last month. So I got a really good look at some people who actually knew what the fuck they were doing. Now, what I say, the game is fun. The downside is the quote-unquote tutorial happens while you're playing. Like, it's like, here's speedrun, here's tutorial, and go. So you're trying to run and keep up while also reading the bottom of the screen to learn what, okay, T to do this, spacebar to do this. Oh, shit, I'm dead. Oh, fuck, okay. So that's a little bit of a downside. The on-hand tutorial, maybe just giving me the option to have a quick view of the controls would have been nice before starting. But it's fun. I would obviously recommend between playing a little bit and getting the minimum feel for the computer versus four human beings playing each other. If you have friends, play with them. You know, I give it a try it personally because, again, it's not for everyone. It's straight up, it's a speedrun game. Whoever can stay get ahead the quickest or stay ahead the longest wins. So it's all about Twitch skills, dodging the people behind you, attacking someone in front of you. You can jump ahead real fast just by finding a quick little shortcut or using your little spear, grappling spear, whatever you want to call it. So there's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of little things you can do in the game, but it's definitely more fun with friends. So I think...
On the bright side, it does look like there's a demo available on Steam.
I think I'm going to get that, actually, as soon as we're done with the podcast.
Because Pappy cut me off before I could give all the details, it did leave early access this week and is available now, full release, for $14.99. Or if you've got friends you want to play it with, you could get a 4-pack for $40 and end up saving $15 or $20. Math. I can't do it.
Math.
But yeah, you give it a try it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said.
Cool.
Motherfucker.
I do love the soundtrack in the game.
Yeah, the music was nice. When, you know, so when you, I was felt watching, all happy and hoppy while you died.
It was like a big band style music, and I loved it while watching him play.
Nice.
So yeah, it's a try.
Yeah, I had it on my Steam queue. It came up one time, and I looked at it, and I was like, "Oh, this looks really neat," and I put it in my wish list. So I was like, as soon as you said it, I was just like, "Oh, damn, it's that!" Like,
yeah, you'll enjoy it, Chris, because it's a challenging, competitive game.
Right.
And it's fast. Like, I mean, whether you're good or bad, then every fucking level is over in just a matter of minutes at most. Like, I think that I saw them go like 2 whole minutes once in a round because the two guys were just neck and neck. But the screen had shrank to just like a fucking. If your TV is, we'll say, if your TV is 20 by 20, their screen was 2 by 2.
Yeah.
I like reading the reviews on Steam for it. The one is just, I'm on 1,600 hours and still playing this game. Pretty fun, thumbs up.
Jesus.
And as of now, they're at 1,878.4 hours on record.
That's insane.
And then someone else, their review is just, speedrunners is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to purchase.
Nice.
So, oh, nice Fort Minor reference there.
Awesome. All right, wow. So we got one or two more
to talk about. The next big one to talk about is Blues and Bullets, Episode 2, Shaking the Hive, is developed and published by A Crowd of Monsters. It released April 8th for $4.99 on the Xbox One and I believe the PS4. If you don't have Episode 1 of the game, you can get a 2-pack of both games or both episodes for, I believe, $7.99, so you're saving a couple of bucks there. It came out a few months ago, I want to say a month or two, on Steam. The first episode of the game came out, I want to say, 8 to 10 months ago, so it's been a hell of a wait before Episode 2. If you're not familiar with the series, first off, these are the guys who made Funk of Titans, but before you run away screaming, it's worth checking this game out. This is an adventure game, much like the Telltale adventure games, with some crime solving and detective work thrown in there. There are some shooting sequences in the game. There are some quick time events, a lot of decision making, a lot of reading, talking. If you're a fan of the Telltale games, Life is Strange, just adventure games in general, it is absolutely worth checking this one out. The visual style is fantastic. It is all black and white with red highlighting for the blood, for the tie.
Yeah.
It is a story using Elliot Ness and Al Capone in a whole new... They tried to be as faithful to the time as possible, but it's clearly a unique fictionalized world and story. And it is an absolute blast to play through. To get back in the feel for episode two, I actually replayed episode one and then played episode two in the past few days. And I pray to God that it doesn't take them another 8 months to get episode three out, because the ending of episode two was like one of those.
So how long does it take to get through an episode?
The first episode, I want to say, was close to 3 hours. Episode two was 2 hours, around there. It depends on how in-depth you get with exploring everything and getting 100% exploration to investigate things. You'll see little red eye icons, and there could be one or two that you miss along the way that you might have to go back and replay. It felt like a lot of the decisions you make didn't have too much lasting appeal in the game, but halfway through episode two, there was a kind of fucked up, creepy dream sequence that you go through that all the decisions I made so far just seemingly came back to haunt me, which I thought was a really, really cool addition to the game.
Hey, it looks gorgeous, but I might wait until the whole series is wrapped before I get into it, because I'm not sure I can wait 10 months.
Yeah, a lot of people are worried about whether or not they're going to finish the series, let alone like when the next parts will come out. I know on Steam they do offer a season pass, but there's that option's not available, at least on Xbox that I know of.
Which means that they don't have a set date for everything like Telltale does.
Hey, sometimes you never even know with Telltale, but hopefully it won't. They said that one of the reasons it took so long was console certification issues that held up the second part of the game. Hopefully now that the second part is out, we'll see them come out more frequently than 8 months, because the story was it definitely had me leaning forward in my seat and like, oh my God, what's... It's super cool to see a crowd of monsters rebound from Funk of Titans with Blues and Bullets, because this game is just fantastic to play. And because it's episodic and they're in chapters, $5 for a nice 2-3 hour slice of gameplay is pretty good stuff. So yeah, definitely I recommend it if you're into adventure style games. Definite buy it. If you're not into those kind of games, watch someone else play it. Find a playthrough, at least check out the story, and get taken into the world of it, because it's just a gorgeous game. The art style, the voice work is pretty solid. The music is phenomenal. It's just really good stuff. I'm excited for whenever the next part comes out. Whatever year that is.
Yeah. In the year 2020.
In the year 2000. Final game to talk about is called Loud on Planet X. They were the guys that were supposed to be on the show today, but since that got bumped to next week, we'll do a quickie review of it. It is developed and published by Pop Sandbox. It released April 19th for $7.99 on the PS4 and Steam. It also came out on iOS and Android for $3.99 that should be available now. This is a mix between rhythm game and tower defense, where you get abducted by aliens, perform on some kind of out there planet, and your stage is getting bombarded by aliens. And you use the power of music to attack the aliens rushing the stage, based on four different rows that they're in, corresponding to different buttons on your controller. If you're familiar with any kind of rhythm game, you'll easily get the hang of this. The art style is fantastic. The 24 songs in the game, an amazing indie soundtrack to the game. I don't think I've found any songs I don't like in the game. I'm honestly surprised by how much they could say the word shit in one of the songs for a T-rated game.
Right?
Like, seriously, he just shit this and shit that. It's like, bullshit. And I'm like, wow.
As long as he doesn't say shit on my face, then it's PG.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. My only legit complaint with the game is the calibration. And that is...
Yep.
It has been frustrating me to no end. The way the scoring in the game works is you get 50 points for a hit and 100 points for a kill. If you hit it perfectly on time, you get double. So 100 points for a hit and 200 for a kill. A lot of the scores to get 3 stars on a song require you to get a certain number of perfect hits. And if your calibration is off, which mine I cannot get right at all, you won't 3-star songs. I have tried 3 different times, at least an hour each time I would do it, jumping from numbers to numbers to numbers, to get a good calibration, and I still can't 3-star some songs. I'll feel like I'll have it, and then I'll just be hitting buttons on time, and then they'll just stop working, which drove me up the wall. So what is someone like me to do? I would bring in a musician to sit down with the calibration. Chris?
How'd that work?
It didn't. I adjusted that slider everywhere. Like,
yeah.
Like, everywhere. Like, and there was, apparently it claims that the calibration is going, you can go negative or positive in milliseconds. And I ranged everywhere from like 80 milliseconds in each direction, which wow. is like a lot. That's a lot.
And normally, like, if the calibration process wasn't a massive pain in the ass, you could kind of understand wanting to, like, you know, mess with it and get it perfect. But the calibration process for this game is as so. You access the calibration at the main menu of the game. You have to go into the options, go to calibration, and set the numbers. They don't give you, like, a click track to match it to with anything flashing. You just select
a number.
And hope for the best. Then you exit out of the options and wait for the main menu to load. Then you hit X and wait for the song selection screen to load. Then you select your song and wait for the song to load. Then you start the song and you start playing it and hope it's good. And if not, you have to hit start, exit the song, wait for the song selection to load, hit back, wait for the main menu to load, and go to options and pick a new number.
Dang.
It is a legit process. If you could access the calibration in a song with the option to restart the song, that would make this a million times more bearable. But it is a legit process to try and get the calibration anything worthwhile. And I cannot get the calibration to work. And I don't know. It seems like any number that we would pick, it still didn't feel right.
That sucks.
Which is a shame because I love this game. My only other real complaint with the game is that it's not on Xbox One, which I think is a missed opportunity. I said it online that on the PlayStation 4, they have to compete with Amplitude, which is another button-pressing rhythm game, where on the Xbox One, there's zero rhythm games to compete with that aren't Guitar Hero and Rock Band, which require peripherals.
Mm-hmm.
So there's zero competition on Xbox One, but they went PlayStation only. And their only current plans right now are to get the Vita port out and working. I hope after that they will seriously consider going to Wii U, Xbox One, whatever else, because only being on PlayStation, I think, is a massive hindrance to them.
Yeah.
As it stands, for $8, I'm still going to give it a try it. But if you can't get the calibration working properly, bitch at them until they take care of it? I don't know. When they're on next week, I'm going to ask them, like, why can't I get this game calibrated right? Are there any plans to improve the calibration methods in the game? Because that is my only real legit gripe. The visuals are great. The music is great. The gameplay is fun. It's innovative and unique. And it's just a great game that is being wrecked by the calibration. So I hope
they can get that fixed this weekend.
Yeah, you might have a lot better luck with it because you're doing it on Steam and you won't have any kind of audio delay having the audio come directly from your speakers.
Yeah.
I have to compete with the audio going from the TV into the sound system and then out.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, I Rock Band calibrate my drum set like every fucking week.
Yeah, and so. I even tried plugging a headset directly into the controller and it seemed no different.
Yeah, that stinks. Yeah, I found with my Rock Band drum set, my ultimate calibration is to actually have it to where I'm playing the notes just before they hit.
Yeah.
Like 50 milliseconds.
Did you calibrate it with the guitar?
No, I calibrated it with the drums.
Well, the guitar has a sensor in it to calibrate the system.
But no. Since I only play the drums, I went in. You can calibrate it with the drums.
I know. I'm just saying that there's an automatic calibration.
For my play style, what I enjoy most, where I seem to hit the most notes, is actually almost being ahead of the notes. And now I'm nailing
it. When it comes to drums, like you kind of want to calibrate them with the instrument.
Yeah, I learned that. I learned that.
I know this weekend we're going to have an interview with Alexander from Pinochle Games to talk Party Hard. I will cover an additional game then if I have enough time with it. I was hoping to cover the game As Divine Hearts from Kemco tonight. I haven't put enough time into it to feel confident giving a final verdict. It came out, I'll for the people who want to check it out, it is another retro-style RPG from Kemco. This one available on the Wii U. It released April 14th for $9.99. A tentative review, I would give it a buy it if you're into retro RPGs. But again, I just haven't had enough time with it to give it a firm decision. So hopefully over the weekend or next week, because we're going to have 3 episodes coming out in the next week, that we'll have time to talk about it. Make sure to follow us on Twitter because we're going to have more games to give away. We're going to have, I believe, 3 copies of Party Hard to give away to our wonderful listeners next week sometime. So follow us, the SML Podcast,
on
Twitter.
I'm going to send an email in.
Chris, this game is up your alley.
Yeah, I'm sending an email in.
Well, don't send one until you know what the contest is. Tell us about the time you murdered someone.
Yeah. All right, and on that note, thanks for leaving me with 5 whole extra minutes.
Hey, no problem, man. We do what we can.
Yeah.
Music this week. Ori and the Blind Forest. I have that soundtrack on my...
Yeah.
How's that? That work good?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Chris, final words?
Final words. Buy Overwatch.
Why? Like,
so
play,
I have people to play with.
Play the beta first. Try it.
Like, play the beta.
Have you even put much time into it, Chris?
All right, I'm going.
Overwatch?
Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching like a lot of people stream it.
You've watched. Like, have you played?
Only a little, but they had a beta. And then obviously I bought it so that I can get in on the beta that starts on the 3rd.
Pappy hung up.
Yeah, he left. He is.
Hey, Pappy. You suck.